try again.
Thursday night, it's 8 o'clock. You're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio, and I'm Chip Gibson, Tree Hugger. We're here in the ATL, and it's the last weekend of summer. Where's the... But we've got, like, the weekend off. And like we said right before the show, it's the weather's been nice up until the weekend. Now they're calling for rain and wind, and my buddy Matt, Yak Chum, up there in Jersey, is, like, bumming out, right? He's got the day off tomorrow.
Good evening, Chip. I got a four-day weekend, and the wind's in. I'm hoping to wake up tomorrow morning and get down to the beach, and there be a nice glass-looking, like, water out there. So I'm hoping for
it. It'd be nice, yeah, the sea breeze comes in and lays it all down, you know, for you. Get up sunrise and go out there, and it'd be like just a big mirror sitting out there ready for you to make some wake in.
That'd be beautiful.
You can see maybe just some ripples out just about a couple hundred yards offshore of some bait fish, you know. But so you launch like from a big beach, or you launch in an inlet and have to paddle out?
Well, this time of year and most of the spring into the summer into the fall, I fish in a bay called Raritan Bay. And if you know the shape of New Jersey, it's as you come from south to north, there's like a dip in that goes into like the west, towards the west.
Right.
That's my fishing grounds there, pretty much.
Uh-huh.
So I launch off all little beaches, you know, with smaller waves. But as we get later in the fall, it's all ocean launching for the stripers.
Uh-huh.
So you surf launch right off the beach into the big waves.
To the big waves. And how far offshore do you have to paddle before you can get into some fish?
In the bay, it could be anywhere from 10 feet to 3 miles. It all depends.
Right. Huh. I just thought that might be interesting. Anywhere from 10 feet to 3 miles. Dude.
Yeah.
You start fishing as soon as you hit the water, right? So.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, you throw a line out there and troll out. And the way the bay works is there's a shelf off land.
Uh-huh.
I think the furthest from land it is probably about... the furthest is probably about a mile and a half.
Right.
But most places that I drop in, it's only about 300, 400 feet off the beach, and it goes from about 4 or 5 feet of water right down to like 28 feet.
Wow.
And that ledge is where most of the fish hold all year round.
Uh-huh. So Raritan Bay there.
That's it.
Oh.
Been fishing there since I was a wee little boy.
Cool. What's catching right now, man? What do we see offshore right now?
Still flounder. I've heard sea bass is pretty good out in the ocean. Small bluefish, little snappers around. We call the baby bluefish snappers up here.
The big ones, choppers.
Big ones, choppers and gators.
Choppers and gators, and they are too, man. Those suckers are mean.
Yeah.
See them go through a ball of pogies, man, and it just winds up being an oil slick once they get done.
That's it. And a bunch of birds in there. I've seen seagulls with one leg because of bluefish.
I don't doubt it, man. I took some guys when I was the Pensacola, they want to go fishing. I took them offshore. There was a couple of, you know, student guys that were there, and we went fishing. And they didn't fish much in the Gulf or in salt water at all, you know. And right as a guy caught his first fish, you know, and I heard him scream, I said, "Oh, man, I forgot to tell you guys, don't be lipping any of these fish."
You don't want to do that. You can always tell that the Googans or the newbies are lipping those fish, and they're ending up with a skinless thumb.
Or they try to put their finger in through the back of their gills and don't realize that if the fish has got a short mouth like a bluefish, he can still bite you. But cool. So when's the best time of year for fishing in your area?
Fishing starts, I guess, typically in March, and it's good
as soon as the ice breaks up.
November. Yeah, I mean, well, December it gets a little slow. The bass have gone by, and you really, for kayak fishermen, it's winter flounder. They say they've been doing better with them. I haven't targeted them in years. It's a two fish bag limit. It's just a lot of work to catch little 12 inch, winter flounder for me. But a lot of guys go for them. But other than that, you need a big boat to get out there for the ling and cod,
right,
which are way offshore.
Uh-huh.
I mean, some stripers will hang around, but there's not many to be had. You know, it's not like the biomass that goes by in through November coming down from Massachusetts, going down to the southern waters where it's warm.
Right. What's the bottom like there? Is it sandy, rocky, combination?
It's pretty much everything you could think of. The fisheries up here destroy the oyster beds years and years ago, probably way before I was born. And so you got mud in a lot of areas, and then you got sandy areas, and then you got your mussel beds, and you got clam beds, but no oyster beds.
There's
rocky areas, not a lot of rocks. You'll find rocky areas where pretty much they dumped rocks from when they constructed Manhattan and New York City.
Some rubble stuff, rubble piles.
Yeah, but other than that, it's all that nice marine black mud, you know?
Just
that real stinky stuff.
What we call pluff mud.
Yeah.
You get your boot stuck in it and pull your leg out, it goes pluff.
That's it.
Yeah.
But as you go south in New Jersey, you get into that sand line that runs from Florida
all
the way up to, I guess it pretty much starts on Sandy Hook in New Jersey. A little bit of Long Island has it, but yeah, anywhere you see those tall cedar trees.
Yeah.
And so that area is a lot more sandy than most of the areas that I fish, which are more northern inland.
And what kind of bait fish are generally, I mean, you know, like we've got, you know, cigar minnows and pogies or menhaden.
We got menhaden. We got the mud minnows, which I'm sure are common all along the East Coast.
Yeah.
No mullet up here, though.
No mullet.
Occasionally you'll see some sardines and some small, those little needlefish, little gar.
Right.
A lot of spearing, or silver sides, they call them.
Okay.
And shrimp, grass shrimp. Not like
grass
the tiger
shrimp
you guys got down south, but.
Yeah. Do you ever do any, like, crabbing or lobstering up there or anything? I mean, is there that kind of fishery?
Well, lobster's all offshore also. A lot of lobster boats go out.
Right.
The crabbing fishery in New Jersey isn't the best. A lot of people do it more south of here where I fish typically. But if you're going to go crabbing, you want to go to, like, Delaware, Maryland, you know, the Delmarva area.
Uh-huh. Okay. Cool. What's the water temperature kind of like? What's it right now?
From what I heard on the radio, ocean temps are low 70s.
Ooh. That's chilly.
73, 72.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, we're usually in the 70s 75 area, but such a mild end to the summer here.
Do you usually wear, like waders or a dry suit most of the year, or?
Nah. I pretty much take off the dry suit once the water and air temp, once you add it together, equals about 120 degrees.
Uh-huh.
I think that's the standard rule.
Yeah.
But 70-degree water isn't bad. It's chilly at first, but you get used to it. But it's not something that you want to, flip in and
right.
and not be able to get out, because you eventually will become hyperthermic, but it just takes a lot longer than when you're in 40-degree water.
Right.
But I take my dry suit off around, I guess, I'd have to say mid-April, and it goes back on typically in November.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, a little October when you get those really cold mornings.
Right.
But it warms right up for you.
Get the air temperature up. Cool. And when you're fishing, are you usually, bottom fishing? Are you trolling or?
Well, it all depends on what species you're looking for. I mean, in the summertime,
right.
it's mostly flounder fishing, so you're definitely bottom fishing.
Uh-huh.
But you can catch pretty much anything bottom fishing up here. But in the springtime, it's a lot of trolling for striped bass and bluefish. SP minnows, the Daiwas, those work really good. The Azuris,
uh-huh.
those plugs, excellent, excellent striper candy.
Just got a couple of rod holders mounted. Put a couple in and toss them out, and then paddle along, huh?
That's it. I use all conventional style trolling setup, so I just
right.
I let the line out about 250 feet behind me as I'm paddling, and then I'll just leave the reel in free spool, but I'll throw the clicker on.
Yeah.
So being the rods are behind me, I'll hear the free spool going with the clicker, wee, and then I know I got a fish on. So.
Yeah. Hmm. Cool.
But yeah. Flounder fishing's a whole method in its own. I mean, you really got to. Sometimes the fish are just sucking on the bait and spitting it out. Sometimes the fish are just inhaling it.
Yeah.
So you got to feel them out.
Right. No,
there's an art to it.
There definitely is. I mean, at least down here, and we're usually when we're going after flounder, you're targeting like a little sandy mouth of an inlet or where there's a creek or something flowing through, and you've got some sandy bottom. And then it's just, bouncing a jig, maybe with a little shrimp on it, or, you can use soft plastic. But you got to keep it down there. You got to keep it in the strike zone for those guys. And I've seen some videos of guys who put GoPros down and troll them along, and you can just see it. They're ambush predators. They sit there on the bottom. They're waiting for that thing to come bouncing along. And I typically just don't keep it down on the bottom enough. Either I'm not using enough weight or I'm just not patient enough to keep it slow and keep it bouncing along the bottom. So.
Yeah, if you're not on the bottom, it's going to be tough to catch flounder. Although, I've seen flounder caught in about 3 feet of water on freshwater crankbaits. So
really?
they do come up here and there,
Yeah, if it's shallow enough, I guess, they can see it. They got two eyes on the side of their head there.
So. That's right.
And they're just looking up, waiting for something. But they are an ambush predator. They like laying on the bottom. I think we've talked about it in previous shows, but one of the coolest things that I've been able to catch flounder on, I mean, I see, like D. Kaminsky and Chuck and all of them, I've seen them. They'll take a jig head, like a 1/8 ounce jig head or a 1/4 ounce and put a soft plastic shrimp on it and then bounce that sucker across the bottom. Catch flounder. Me, the thing I found is it's a rig that I learned about when I was fishing over on the Georgia coast, and it basically has, it's like got about maybe 18, 20 inches of mono with a jig head on it, and you can either put a shrimp or tip it with shrimp and a little jig, but then it's got a small on that 18 to 20 inches, there's one of those small slip bobbers on it. And then you've got a trolling sinker at the top of the rig. So the trolling sinker is about maybe 3/4 of an ounce, and that keeps it down on the bottom. And then the little bobber there, the little slip bobber, you set that so it keeps that bait just right above the bottom, right in the strike zone. You know, it doesn't keep it down in the dirt, but it keeps it right there and maybe just bounces a little bit. But you can just – I can feel that trolling sinker just dragging along the bottom, and as long as I can keep that down there, I usually have pretty good luck with it. But
nice.
Yeah. Now, I've found out by Jim, you know, and the guy that is on here from North Atlanta, he fishes the coast a lot, and that's a real good tactic too for trout when they get down, when the tide's going out and the trout dive down and get into the deep troughs in the river and stuff. You can use a rig like that. It'll, if there's some grass on the bottom or something, you just set that bobber a little bit higher and it'll hold the bait up, and you can tell when you hit the bottom because you can feel that troll and sinker hit. So it'll hold your bait up. It's kind of like using a floating bait, you know, but with a weight in front of it. And it's a cool little fish finder rig. You know, it's kind of a knocker rig, but the sinker is, you know, it's a trolling sinker. And you don't get much drag on it when you're fighting a fish and stuff like that. But it's a different way to do it. It's the only way I've had any luck in catching flounder, though.
Every region has a different way of catching flounder. It's just up in Massachusetts, they use chum pots up there and crack corn and anything to lure the fish in. They bounce those pots full of clam on the bottom, and that attracts
right.
the fish up there.
Yeah, a can of cat food, right?
Yeah.
No, but I think probably the guys I know that can really get flounder really good are the ones down here with the John boats with the big lights, and they stand up on the platform on the front of the boat and they spear them.
That's almost cheating.
I know, right? You're just kind of cruising along at night. You got a generator in the middle of the boat running, powering up some big freaking lights, you know? I mean, I think it's a little bit cooler the guys who are doing it with a bow, you know, but...
That's cool.
Yeah, but it's still...
You can't miss with a bow. You're not going to miss with a big stick.
Yeah, you just get it right down there and stab them, you know, but... it's kind of cool, but it's a lot of noise, and it's... I don't like being out there... With them big giant lights, you know, down here in the south, you get some monster mosquitoes coming around at night, too, so.
Oh, I'm sure. Grasshoppers, giant moths.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're just constantly getting bombarded and stuff, so. But, yeah, that's cool, man. I don't think we've ever really talked about, you know, your fishery and how you guys do it up there. I know we've asked you questions before and stuff, but. It's just kind of neat. I mean, you know, different places and stuff. I've gotten the thing. I mean, my opportunities to fish in different places have usually been around the world in my previous life as a Marine, going to different places, different countries and fishing there. But I've never been, I don't think I've ever fished any further north than North Carolina. So always wanted to come up in that area. And if you look back in historically, you know, the fisheries along the New England coast, heck, man, the Europeans were fishing from Jersey north for years before anybody ever made landfall, you know. In fact, I think old sailors would just say, never get off the boat, right, because they never came back. But they were always chasing the big stripers and stuff like that. I mean, so it's kind of interesting. And it's interesting to look at the historical fisheries and, you know, how for so long that you're from your neck of the woods north was fished for years before Columbus and all that kind of crap, you know. So,
and it's amazing how it still produces fish, you know.
Yeah, it really is.
That's,
I mean,
a lot
it's
of
an
fish.
It's an incredible bounty, you know, for centuries now. People have been fishing out there and stuff. And then, and you think too about the, you know, you're looking at the early settlers in North America and what it, I mean, just the amount of fish and food, excuse me, from that area, you know? I mean, it was like I would have survived pretty well, I think, you know. You come over and, you know, you look at where they left in an area that, you know, I mean, Europe and England, Great Britain area was just pretty much wiped out from overpopulation, real bad water and all that kind of stuff. So they're coming over here and they jump on shore and, I mean, there's freaking fish everywhere and clams and mussels and lobsters and all that kind of stuff, man. It's like, you know, could have eaten for years, right?
Absolutely.
Pretty cool stuff. And kind of the historical fisheries area up there. So I always want to come up there, too, and go out and try chasing down a big old BFT, you know?
Yeah, they catch them right offshore here. I mean, they got to go pretty far. It's like 30 miles out.
Right. Yeah.
You ever up in Cape Cod, you know? They just go right off the tip there.
You ever go fishing for big bluefin?
I have not.
No.
It's on my bucket list.
It's on your bucket list, yeah? To go after a grander? Those are just some big, monstrous fish, man. I watched that show a couple of times, Wicked Tuna, you know, just watching those guys fight those fish, and that's crazy, man. And they got some big gear, too, they're going after them with, so.
From what I understand, the licenses to catch the bluefin up here are so out of the, like, very expensive that if you charter a boat to catch bluefin tuna and you catch the fish, you don't actually get to keep any of the fare from it.
Really?
That all goes to the boat. Yeah. So, I mean, it's the thrill of catching the fish, I guess, is what you're looking for. But who would want some fresh bluefin, you know?
Yeah. No, and, well, I mean, the amount of money that fish is worth. So, and I don't know if they're like any other tuna, you know, or like, you guys fish for bonita or albacore, false albies, or whatever they call them?
Yeah, false albies will be in October. We go out with them on the kayaks and just let them tow us around and stuff.
The little footballs.
It's a football that'll tear your arm off.
Right. But, I mean, those fish there, you know, when you catch one of those, it's like, I mean, we cut them up for bait, but they're usually, they fight so damn hard, they're dead by the time you get them to the boat.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's unfortunate, they're not edible.
Yeah. I don't know. We got some people down here that'll eat them. So,
yeah,
they bleed them out, man, and call it poor man's tuna. But I don't know. They're pretty bloody fish. They make a lot better bait than they do. I mean, they make great belly strips and stuff like that. I mean, so we always, you know, I've seen them schools. We call them bonita. And I've seen schools that were 300 yards deep and mile long, just huge schools of these bonita.
Wow.
I mean, absolutely incredible. And what a great day. You just almost want to just, I mean, we'd have our kids on the boat, but you just want to go up to the beach and grab all the kids and say, come on out here, you know, and you put light tackle with some silver spoons and just troll right through the middle of them. And it's like just fighting the crap out of those little rascals, man. But
nice.
But I can imagine, you know, that fish, you know, they're just about wiped out by the time you bring them to the boat. It's kind of hard to do catch and release with that little fish. I can't imagine, you know, a 600-800-pound bluefin tuna, how much lactic acid would be built up in that fish after a fight. And I don't think any fight with a bluefin tuna is going to be a quick one.
Well, I mean, you see the gear they use.
Yeah.
I mean, you're still talking probably about a half hour to an hour fight, depending on the size, but.
Yeah.
I think they use that big gear just to get those fish up as fast as they can so it doesn't spoil the meat.
Yeah, there's
and
just
then,
so much
then it's right
heat.
On ice. So.
Yeah. Has there ever been, I don't know, I mean, has there ever been anybody that you know of or heard of that's caught a bluefin tuna out of a kayak?
No, not that I've heard of. I think that would make some big news.
You would think, right? I mean,
yeah.
maybe not really. What are they? I forget the how they grade them. You know, there's like schoolie size, and these are, you know, just the small ones. They got to be like 50, 60 inches, right, for like legal or something like that. Yeah. And they're under the Marine, what do they call them, Migratory Fisheries Act or something like that. You have to have a special permit for them and all that.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, last year, a guy on Long Beach Island here in New Jersey caught one off the surf.
Whoa.
600-pounder. And federal government came in and took the fish.
And
he didn't have a permit to catch it.
Yeah. Really?
Too bad for that guy, man.
No kidding,
I don't know if they
right?
find them or not. They probably did, just because.
Yeah,
I guess that's something you just don't tell anybody about.
Yeah. It's a big bonita. It's a huge owl.
Yeah. But they've seen the yellow fins right off the beach here this past month.
Really? Yeah. Is that like unusual, or why would they be up that close? Is there a lot of bait up?
It is very unusual. Well, what's been going on, I read in the paper, is Rutgers University up here, they've been doing what they call seismic testing, where they're blasting the sea bottom with sound.
Right.
And a lot of the fishermen are really up in arms about it because it's moving the fish where they're not supposed to be. They don't know if it's killing the fish or not. But this is a whole, like, global warming study and stuff.
Yeah.
Where they're breaking up the bottom, I guess, to get samples out of the earth.
Huh.
Yeah.
And it's so just moving the fish around.
I think that's why the tuna are in so close.
Hmm. I guess it's as good a theory as any. I mean, I'm sure there's some alien associations and other things like that, but
it's all testing for global warming stuff. I don't know.
Right. Well, interesting stuff, man. Interesting. What's the biggest striper you've ever caught up there?
On a boat, 45 pounds.
On a boat? How about on your kayak?
That's kayak, about 30 pounds, which is a nice fish.
Yeah.
I haven't had a monster yet. I'm
still
looking
for one of those.
And
yeah, one of those Kayak Kevin specials.
Yeah.
That's
one of our usual trips. We go down to fish the concrete ships down there
right.
on the shore of Virginia in December.
Uh-huh.
Went 2 years ago, and we all got skunked.
I
caught one dogfish. That was the only fish caught the entire weekend. And we went to go last year, but I forget what happened. A big nor'east storm came in.
Oh, okay.
And, it was in December last year. So that kind
of
killed
down.
Our weekend. We stayed home. Rain, wind, it was just no point even driving all the way down there to turn around and come home or to camp out in the rain. So.
Right.
We're hoping for it this year, crossing our fingers. But the way that the summer has been cooling down, it might be a pretty nasty winter again.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've been thinking too. You know, is we've been having all these cold fronts, and we've been having a lot of strange fronts move through down here in the south. Typically, this time of year, all the fronts come from the west, move to the east, kind of southeast, and move off. We've had fronts coming in. I mean, heck, the other morning we got up, it was 58 degrees here. It was like crazy, man, in July. So, but and now it's the end of summer, right? Labor Day weekend, man.
I mean, today it didn't even hit 80 degrees here.
Really?
79, I think, was the high.
We got up into the 90s, but it was a little warmer today. But we got real low humidity. You know, it hasn't been really a bad summer at all down here. It's typical southern high humidity, sticky, nasty. You know, 90% humidity and 90 degrees, when it's really ugly. But it hasn't been that bad at all down here this year. So, unfortunately,
you know what? I don't mind it. As long as it's not windy. That's the big thing for us.
Right? Yeah. And that's the other thing, too, the kind of fronts. I think the last time I saw these fronts, I was down in Pensacola, and these things were, because they come and everything moves to the east. So you got this east wind, and it's really nasty along the panhandle, because when you go out, you kind of work your way from the beach to the southeast to get out to the fishing grounds. And So you're constantly bucking wind and waves, and you're just soaking wet by the time you get out to your fishing spot and then work your way back in, and you're getting following seas swamping you and get sideways and all that kind of crap when you're trying to land. So, but
yeah, I got to tell you, this year has been tough with the wind. My fishing was not as good as last year this year because of it, and trying to find those spots where you're sheltered is not the best fishing grounds most of the time.
Need to get you.
Fortunately.
Yeah, you don't have much shelter there, do you? Pretty much.
West
looks like a big giant funnel right there.
That's it. Yeah, anything northeast, east, southeast, even north is rough. South can be rough, but west is best, and hasn't been a lot of that this year. It's been, even southwest is rough.
Really?
But, yeah, so there's only been a couple of days, and it's only been in the past 3 weeks, I guess, that the wind kind of settled down a bit, and we had some glassy days out there, which was beautiful, and the fishing was excellent.
Yeah.
Being a kayak angler and paddling, it's when it's really windy, it's just a rough day.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not fun to paddle into the wind and stuff, man. Not at all. And it always seems to, I don't care where you're at, when you're kayak fishing and you paddle out, you're usually paddling into the wind, and by the time you get ready to go back in, you're paddling into the wind again. It's kind of like uphill both ways.
Yeah, it's pretty typical.
Do you guys get, I'm actually looking at Google Maps here, looking at the Raritan Bay, Lower Bay, Sandy Hook Bay, and I see to the north there's like Sheep's Head Bay. So you guys get Sheep's Head up there and stuff?
Yeah, actually this time of year you'll see them, but only out in the ocean where those rock piles are.
Uh-huh.
From when they built Manhattan and New York City.
Right.
They hang on those rocks. We get those. We get a lot of big tog.
Tog. So you get the tautog up there?
Yep. And they're big. I mean, guy had one off of Long Island last year that was like 35 pounds or something ridiculous.
Holy crap. Sheep's head or a tog?
A tog.
Oh, okay.
A buddy of mine had a sheep's head last year in North Wildwood. That's way down south in Cape Mac, New Jersey, the little peninsula that comes out.
Right.
He had a 27.8-pound sheep's head down there.
Holy crap. That sheep's still, man.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Yeah. Man. You ever fish out?
Since Hurricane Sandy came through, that the different types of species of fish have been around. Like last year it was croaker and spot city, and we hadn't seen that in a couple years.
Right.
And actually, we were catching speckled trout in the winter after Hurricane Sandy. And you never see
them
come up here.
Push them around and stuff, yeah. You ever fish out Long Beach, or Jones Beach Island out in that area?
Not too much in New York.
No?
New York's just a tough drive. I mean, you'd be spending a night, typically.
I guess so, yeah. Cool.
It's just going through the city and everything. For a guy like me that can only really fish weekends hard, that's a tough ride for. But Montauk Point, that's the place to go, like right now. Striped bass are going to start showing up there.
So it's fixing to get good, huh?
Yeah, that place is unreal. When the stripers move through there, it's a feeding frenzy. They just blow up on the sardines out there.
Right. And do you use live bait, or are you just throwing plugs at them then?
Just plugs, typically. You could use eels in the fall, American eels, and sand eels work really well, too.
Right. Cool. Well, that's a good thing you showed up tonight, man. Gave me something interesting to talk about and learn a little bit about fishing off of Jersey.
Hey, no problem.
So, do you go back up in the river there, the Raritan River and that kind of area? Is there good fishing back up in there?
There's really good fishing in there in the spring when the striped bass go up that river to spawn. When they come out of there after they do their spawn run.
Bay
area there is excellent fishing.
They're just looking for chow as soon as they're coming back out, right?
Yeah, This year, the bass fishing was decent back there. It wasn't as good as most years, but big, big bluefish were back there for about 2 months.
Oh.
Like, I'm talking, like, 34-inch bluefish.
Wow.
Eh.
Wear your Kevlar gloves for those things.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, cool, man. We've got a... Let's see what we've got coming up. What's on the calendar? You guys got some events coming up for your Heroes on the Water chapter?
Yeah, we got 4 events coming up starting next weekend. They're every weekend.
Right.
The first one's going to be actually on Sandy Hook, which is still on that map there, right at the tip on the Coast Guard station is hosting us.
Cool.
That's Coast Guard Station number 1 there.
Number 1.
Number 1.
Neat.
And then we have 2 freshwater events after that. One's on the Manasquan Reservoir, which is where the founder of Power Team Lures developed all his baits.
Cool.
A couple of years ago. I'm not sure when he started.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, I think it's Lake Marlou, I believe. That's another freshwater lake in central Jersey.
Cool.
And then after that, we're back up at Picatinny Arsenal, which is a little bit north of me. And that's another freshwater event also.
Cool.
The Army base there hosts us. It's a nice place to fish, good pickerel fishing.
Right. They like shiny things.
They sure do.
So, all right. Cool. What about any, you got any tournaments or anything looking at?
I'm looking at on, I believe it's September 12th, the Chesapeake Bay Kayak Association is having a tournament. It's their 4th annual.
Uh-huh.
Their tournament's held right by the Bay Bridge that goes over the Chesapeake Bay, kind of heads into D.C. there, Route 50.
Right.
And they have their tournament around there, catching striped bass and bluefish. And I forget what else I get down there. But it seems like a pretty cool event. This would be my first year attending it.
Cool.
It's benefiting the Make-A-Wish Foundation of the Tidewater and the Chesapeake Marine Fisheries Association. I forget what one of the conservation associations for Chesapeake Bay down there.
Cool.
Got that one. And then in October, the kayak fishing store, their local kayak fishing shop.
Paul?
They're putting on a...
Yeah,
Paul now. They're putting on their jamboree, kayak fishing jamboree. It's just a bunch of kayak anglers, kind of like the boondoggle.
Right.
Except it's a small entry fee that benefits Heroes on the Water. And just a bunch of guys getting together fishing. A lot of great giveaways. Great food. We have a little dinner, or a big dinner. I mean, I think last year we probably passed 250 anglers.
Nice.
So it's getting bigger every year. And that was, I believe, the 4th annual. So this year will be the 5th.
I would go just so I could go in and see Paul's shop. That's really a cool-looking shop up there. So.
Yeah, he's got one up in Fairfield, which is in North Jersey, and then he's got one down there in North Wildwood. And that's where the jamboree is held.
Cool.
That'll be striped bass and tog fishing. And maybe the redfish will hang around. We don't know.
They're good folks.
Like every time we get down there, they're gone.
gotta quit telling everybody when you're going.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? The fish read the papers. So, and speaking of October means Columbus Day weekend, and Columbus Day weekend, which is, I think, October 10th through the 14th this year. KayakFishingBoondoggle.com. Go there, register. I think they're closing out. I think this weekend is the last weekend for T-shirts. They're going to make an order and get that set up so they can have it ready to go for the bring the shirts to the boondoggle. But we'll be bringing on some of the vendors that will be appearing at the Kayak Fishing Boondoggle. It's like I said, it's Columbus Day weekend, the 10th through the 14th. It's down at Cars Park in Merritt Island, Florida. To the north side is the infamous Mosquito Lagoon, and Cars sits right on the no motor zone, which is basically the whole area where all of the launch pads for NASA and stuff like that. Cars is a park for NASA, and so they're hosting it, and there's going to be, this is the Boondoggle X, this is the big Boondoggle where they invite the vendors to set up booths and everything, from folks can come down. The last time we did it in Cars, we had probably 500 kayakers show up, and we had a really good time. Native Watercraft will be there. Woody will be joining us here on the show pretty soon. Also, Luther from Yak Attack will be joining us here. Wilderness Systems, Austin Kayak is going to show up with their crew, Bending Branches, NRS, and Werner Paddle. So, and those folks will all be joining us here in the next month on Kayak Fishing Radio. They may be on a Monday night or a Wednesday night or a Thursday night, but we'll be having them on board and talking about what they're going to be bringing to the Boondoggle, what they're doing in the industry and stuff like that. I know it's always fun to have Woody on the show and from Native, and Luther is a really interesting guy. If you're not familiar with Yak Attack products, Luther is kind of the MacGyver of the kayak world. That guy has come up with some really interesting stuff, and a real nice guy. So look forward to having those guys on board with us and joining us here on Buzzards Row to just chat about kayak fishing in general and products and stuff like that. So we got some cool stuff coming up, and the podcast will be available all the time. I think that's about it, man. You're going to get out, if the wind dies down, you're going to try to fish this weekend, right?
Yeah, I'm going to go out tomorrow no matter what in the morning since I have a day off, and I'm getting paid to fish, and I'm going to see if I can get out there.
Very nice, very nice. Always good to get paid to fish.
Yeah.
I'm gonna break out the boat this weekend and go to see what's going on in the little freshwater ponds and see if I can annoy some green fish and maybe some crappie and brim or something like that. Maybe I'll take the fly rod and a popper and see what I can get into, or get me a bucket of crickets or something, you know. So it's the last weekend of the summer, and then we're moving into wintertime, and just not enough hours in the day, at least not enough daylight hours in the day, so not my favorite time of year, but not yours either when you get iced over and stuff, right?
Nah, not at all.
All right, Matt, thanks for joining us tonight, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Good luck this weekend. Have a safe weekend. It's Labor Day, so watch the traffic, and also, oh yeah, man, college football kicks off this weekend, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So,
and, NFL starts next weekend. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy, right? All right, buddy. Have a good weekend. We'll see you next time.
Folks, all right, sounds good.
Yep. You can join us anytime here on Kayak Fishing Radio. Monday nights, Chuck kicks it off with the Redfish Chuck Show. Monday night kickoff. Wednesday nights, we have the Low Sodium Show with Mark Lanny Crew Wheeler. Join him and get your green fish on. And we're back here again next Thursday night on Buzzards Row, just ruminating over kayak fishing and other such things. So take a kid fishing. You won't regret it. If you know they're fishing, you know they're not in trouble. So stay out of the weather, tight lines. Good night, Matt. We'll see you next time.